Glory, hallelujah. What a day, what a day, what a day. What a day. Just to be able to say that is a prime example of why prayer is always in order. We never know from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night what is going to happen, you know, in between time. We don't even know if we're going to see home that night, or if we're going to make it home that night, if we're going to get in our own bed that night. So prayer is always in order, and that's what I want to talk about today. I'm excited. Later on, my guest will be my pastor, none other than Pastor Jamal Bodie Sr. of Grace Baptist Church in Oklahoma, Mississippi. He's going to come on later, and also we're going to have a song by Miss Naomi Bailey out of Oklahoma, Mississippi. Everybody knows Mr. William Bailey. That's his wife, and I just thank God for them going to come on and share with us in just a little bit. But I just want to encourage everybody to pray. Pray, 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 pray without ceasing. Prayer changes things. We have to pray. If Jesus had to pray, we have to pray. It's just communicating with God. Anybody that you love, you want to communicate with them. And I look at it like this. Anybody that will wake you up every day, anybody that will love you beyond yourself, who you are, who we are, anybody that will love us beyond our mess, anybody that would die for us while we were still sinners, we should want to talk to them all day long, because he didn't have to do it, but I am so glad that he did. That's why it's good to always communicate with the Lord. It's always good to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, cover me on this day. Lord, go with me as I go here. Lord, go with me as I go there. Lord, go with my family. Lord, go with my coworkers. Lord, just be with us, because we have no idea from one moment to the next moment what's going to transpire in our lives. So to just continuously pray and continuously talk to the Lord is a very important thing in how people can live and make it without prayer. It's beyond me. For me to go and God not say anything to me it drives me crazy, because I'm like, why is he not talking to me? And when people come to me and give me a word from God, it bothers me. I'm just going to be honest about it. It bothers me because God talks to me. So if he has to send you to come give me a message, that means my line of communication must be broken down somewhere. So, Lord, I need to hear the word from you, because you talk to me. So I'm like this. When I don't hear from the Lord, I'm repenting, and I'm like, God, what have I done? Lord, show me, tell me, what do I need to do in order to hear from you? It's okay to hear from other people, but I like it straight out of the horse's mouth. If the Lord told you to come and tell me to do this, then I'm going back to the Lord and I'm going to say, Lord, this person said that you said this. Lord, what do I need to do? Because you talk to me. And this is like a relationship. If you got a relationship with somebody, you should have an open line of communication. Nobody on the outside of your relationship should have to come and tell you that your husband said this, or your wife said this, or your children said this, or your mom or your dad said this. Because if you love somebody, you should have an open line of communication, and you should be able to talk to them anytime, anywhere. So that's how we should be with God. We should always have this line of communication. We should have this red phone, a direct line to God. Thank you, Lord. We should all have the direct line. So, like I said, I'm excited to talk to my pastor. He agreed to do the live with me on tonight, the podcast with me on tonight, and I'm excited about that. So to God be the glory. As you go today, remember to pray. If you don't have a prayer life, I'm going to tell you a little secret. This is what I had started doing once upon a time. I set my phone for 9 o'clock in the morning. That would be an opportunity for me to break away and talk to the Lord. And then my alarm went off again at 12 o'clock. There was another opportunity for me to talk to God. Then my phone would go off at 2 o'clock. And that time was set aside for me to pray for the young people. So I'm not telling that you have to do this. But if you wanna have a serious relationship with God, the more you talk to God, the more he'll talk to you. The more you hang with God, the more he'll reveal things to you. Have you ever noticed when you get close to a person, at first, you might not know as much about them, but as close you get to that person, they start to reveal things to you. They start to share things with you because they've built this relationship with you. So if we do God to that, the Bible says, draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. So we want to get closer to God. So a line of communication is the way to get it started. So I love you guys, and just hold up just a few minutes and we're going to get started with the with our broadcast. Thank you. And God loves you more than anybody that you can name. He loves you more than any one person that you can think of. He loves you, and so do I. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today is Wednesday, June the 17th, and I'm live here at Grace Baptist Church with my very own pastor, Pastor Jamal Bodie Sr. And I'm just so excited to have him on my live podcast tonight. Say a few things about him first. He is like, he's like my real daddy. He thinks he's my real daddy. But I thank God that he's a great spiritual father. He's like a brother to me. He's like a best friend. And I thank God for him. This is the man that opened the doors for me here at Grace Baptist and gave me the opportunity to share my gift with the world. And I'm forever grateful for that. And for him to just give me a live broadcast on the spot tonight, I'm just excited. Say hello, Pastor Bodie.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
So that was his voice, but you're going to hear his voice the rest of this podcast anyway, because he has a lot of different views on the things that are going on right now. I don't know if he's an activist or not, but he talks like he's an activist. But one thing I do know about him is that he is a man of God. He knows about prayer. He's going to talk about prayer, and then he's going to talk about the things that are going on right now. So, Pastor Bodie, what would you like to say to the people out in podcast land about prayer and about some of the things that's going on right now?
One of the greatest things that we can do in the communication is to pray to God. The Bible declares that we should always pray.
Amen.
And not faint. Pray without ceasing. So Amen. That's our communication with God. And I think that if we do a lot more praying, a lot more things will be able to change. Growing up old school, there was prayer night. And the old people would come together and we would go out to church and we would have prayer night. But now we're living in another time and another generation that now people don't think prayer is important. But when you look through the Bible, prayer is always important. Jesus prayed. If
Amen.
Jesus prayed, I know we need to be praying.
Amen.
And so that's my greatest thing on prayer.
Amen. So prayer is always in order. The Bible says man should always pray. So we got to pray. And the times that we're living in right now, I always mention the COVID-19 season because a lot of people are afraid. But I do have to admit, and also my sister Kay is here. Say hey, Kay.
Hello, everyone.
Kay is also in the church tonight. During the COVID-19 season, or like it's still going on, my pastor did something that a lot of other pastors did not do. And he kept the church open. And he came faithfully to the church every Sunday and opened up. It was business as usual. And I know people said things about you, negative things and positive things. What would you like to say about that, Pastor Bodie? And why did you keep going in the midst of this chaotic season?
Well, one of the things is that you can't listen to people. No way. You listen to God.
Amen.
And I just don't believe God got me out of crack house. Delivered me out of whole house, delivered me out of jail house,
all right.
Delivered me out of the hospital die in the church house. And so my faith stayed strong, not belittling nobody. It just was my faith. I know I heard the call of God and God told me to keep going.
Amen.
And so, and I believe that when we please God, God get excited. And he opens up the rivers of waters.
Amen.
That flows everywhere that you need them to flow.
Amen.
And so it wasn't about a show. It was about being faithful to God.
Amen.
And so I believe that when people be faithful to God, God is, he in return, he's always faithful to us.
Amen.
God don't need anything. But we need everything.
Amen.
And so I just stayed faithful, daughter. I stayed faithful, Minister Amy, many times. And I would ask God what to wear. He said, put on your uniform. And I would come in my best suit. And I would be clean.
Yeah.
And I would do what God had told me to do. And that is preach his word.
Amen.
And so in this season of the pandemic, God is stronger than the pandemic.
Hey.
He's stronger than that.
Amen.
He's stronger than that. People, of course, we have to be cautious, and because God did allow doctors to be doctors.
Hmm.
And so, but God is the doctor.
Hey, glory.
God is the doctor. And so we can be so cautious that we miss God.
My Lord.
When we listening to all of them, they saying this and saying that, you know, we lost God in the shuffle in that, I believe.
My Lord.
And so God is saying he's just looking for people to trust him and to believe him.
To see him.
And people say, well, I caught COVID-19 from the church. You'd never catch anything from the church. If you caught it, you brought it to the church. So you can't catch
My
nothing
Lord.
From this building.
My Lord.
You know, you can't catch nothing from the building. So when I heard people say, well, they called it at the church. No, you probably brought it to the church. But
gave
it to some more people, but you never, the church didn't give you anything. So I stay strong with that. And I'm just thankful.
Because people calling you crazy,
man. Yeah, people calling me crazy. Well, I've been called that before, so that didn't matter. People call you all kind of names.
Yeah, faith.
I'm crazy for God. You know, like
crazy
I said,
for much worse things.
Oh yeah, yeah, crazy. We'd have done some things that was sure enough crazy, but God protected us.
Amen.
And I'm right.
Amen.
Yeah, God, He protected you. He protected
Amen.
Kay. He protected all of us, and God will protect us. For his call.
Yes, he will.
I just don't believe that in God, we can't stop God when he pull our ticket.
Amen.
When our death ticket come, it's over with.
Amen.
Yeah, whether it's a heart attack, whether it's a stroke, or whether you just go to sleep and don't wake up in the morning.
My Lord.
It's when he call, that's it.
My Lord.
Yes, yes.
My God. So this my pastor's take on COVID-19. But Pastor Bowden, now, like, we see what's going on in the news about George Floyd, and now what is the little guy named the Brooks guy that got killed in Atlanta, Georgia? And I know you have sons. I have a son. And say hey, Miss Bailey.
Hi.
Miss Naomi Bailey of Okolona, Mississippi, just walked into the church building. And so, Pastor Bowden, what do you think about the protests going on, about the things that are going on here in Mississippi and nationwide? Just give your take on that, if you don't mind.
My take is different from anybody else's take.
We want to hear it.
We did not start this. They started it.
All right.
And so it's kind of like when you're growing up as a kid, my mama said, don't start it, but finish it.
Mm.
And so we got to finish the race. We got to finish the cause. And the looting, the breaking in, the stealing and all that ain't all black.
Hmm.
You know, that's white. White people doing it too. And so, but we the one just getting blamed for
that's
it.
That's right.
But it's kind of like, this is a commercial. Do you hear me now? Every time he would get closer.
Yeah, can you hear me
can
now?
Can you hear me now?
Right.
And so they wasn't hearing us.
Right.
Until we started tearing up something.
Can you see me now?
Yeah, can you see me now?
All right.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah.
Because we burning up everything. We letting the animals out the zoo. We on a rampage. We ain't playing.
Running down the interstate.
We're running down the interstate. We not playing. And so we are, as a people, but protesting and not voting is bad.
My Lord.
The only way that we're going to change this is that we got to vote.
Right.
And we can change our local government right now. Look at what's happened down in Lowndes County. A supervisor talking about us being in slavery.
That's right.
Now, we need to be down there marching.
We do.
We need to be down there protesting.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to have votes to get in there.
To get them in.
So we got to start voting these people out. We got to get registered to vote, and then we got to go vote.
That's right.
That's the only way we're going to change the dynamics of this. And so my take is very close to me because my uncle was killed at the hands of white police officers.
So does that make you hate white people?
Yeah, wait a minute now. Don't know. This is a trick question on live. You can't hate nobody, but you, at a time, you did hate.
Mm-hmm.
Until God changed your heart and you get an understanding of his word, because to see him gunned down, or know he's gunned down in front of my aunt that was pregnant with my first cousin, who never got a chance to see his father.
My Lord.
Because he was gunned down in his yard because of what he believed then.
My Lord.
And so that does send, you know, a bad vibe.
Yeah.
But now, as the years them pass and the closer you get to God, that goes away. You know, the hatred goes away. It wasn't them that actually killed him. It was the Satan that was inside of them that killed him.
His spirit.
Uh-huh. So so now we are closer and better with relation. My father became a police officer.
This was your father's brother.
This is my father's brother that got killed by police officer, white police officer, and he became a police officer.
Wow.
And so then my brother-in-law is a police officer. So I don't hate police. You know,
I don't either. I used to be a dispatcher and an E-911 operator, so I don't hate them, but I do understand that even in some bags of apples, you're going to have a few bad apples.
That's right.
And you can't just blame everybody for the act of a few bad apples, so.
And the thing about it is, when something like that happened, don't try to push it under the rug. That's what infuriates the people. It didn't happen. Now let's take call. Well, none of this would have never happened. They just went on the charge.
They handle it right.
But they drug their feet, and so guess what? They start acting out.
Right.
We already behind on jobs. We don't get the fair shake on the job. We don't get the promotion like they get the promotion. They work us 24/7.
Right.
We don't get the same shape.
That's right.
You know, it's not fair. The ground is not fair. And so all the thing we want, we're not asking them, begging them for something. We just want the ground to be fair.
Right.
If you catch the white boy with cocaine and the black boy with cocaine, let them get the same time.
That's right.
Or both of them need to go home, both of them go home.
That's right.
That's what we're saying.
That's right.
That's what we're saying.
And it's just fairness. We just want to be treated equal.
That's all.
And I want to ask you this, too, because like I said, you do have sons. I have a son. So the question is now, do we supposed to live in fear that we have black sons that are out here in this world where they are hated by a lot of white officers? I'm just going to say what it is. And like this last thing we said, I think it was in Atlanta, those officers, they were black that pulled those kids out of the car. So, how do you feel when you're not around your kids? And you can't be there to protect them. Because, I mean, you're a black man yourself. So do you live in fear?
I do not. I do not live in fear. I teach my kids because, first thing, God did not give us the power of fear.
Right.
You know, when they leave the house, you pray for them and you tell them, you teach them, you know, about if you get pulled over or this happens. And so we have to teach them, but never to live in fear.
Right.
Because if you live in fear, then it controls you.
That's right.
And so I'm not going to live in fear because, like I said, it's not all officers are bad.
Right.
You know, and we got to tell our kids, try not to put yourself in those positions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be speeding. Then they ain't going to have the reason to pull you over.
Right.
You know, the odds of you getting pulled over not doing nothing is 1 in a million. It's 1 in a million. And so I can speak from experience because I was bad. I was sure enough bad. Billy bad, man.
Not you.
Oh, yes. Bad. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. I ran from the police. I shot at the police. Police shot at me. You know, that was just me.
So you did a shootout.
Yeah, I did a shootout.
So you're not scared of the police.
No, I'm not scared of the police.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but that was ignorant on my part. Could have got killed.
Right.
So we have to now teach our kids about everything. And we just want the system, if something do happen to one of our kids, that the same law apply to them as to our kids.
Right.
That's what we want. We just want justice. That's all we want is
justice. Just want the same treatment. That's right. I mean, fairness.
Right.
I want to ask you, because I think one time I heard you say something about, I can't remember. Was it Generation X or something you were talking about? I can't remember, so I'm going to scratch that. But this generation now.
This Generation Z.
Z that's leading this protest.
It's Z.
I mean, how do you feel about that? Because these young people, they're not afraid.
It's
black, it's white, it's every color in the rainbow out there.
This movement, you have the millennials, and then you got Generation Z.
Mm-hmm.
This is Z. Z ain't taking it.
Z ain't getting it.
Z, if you looked on the news in Seattle, they done took over 6 blocks in Seattle. And took the police station. They living in there. They got tents set up.
What?
Yes. And they got their own gates. They got their own police. And they policing the police. And so it's serious. They talking about calling in the army on these folks.
Are you serious?
They done took over the city.
So y'all hadn't even seen that.
Yeah,
right
yeah,
now,
yeah. But... look it up. They in Seattle, Washington. They done took over 6 blocks.
Wow. So I mean,
and they living that. They living on the street. They got tents. They got.
They serious.
They got barbecue grills. They got everything that they need. They got stand up shower. They just out there wide open.
They for real about
this. They for real.
And who'd have thought, you know, because think how many times we said that this generation of these kids don't want to do nothing. They don't. But because I have a son that's 23, he'll be 24 this month. When they believe in something, they believe in it. And they don't care who they got to go through to die for what they believe in. Mm-hmm. I mean, how does it make you feel? Because you got children in this generation just like I do.
Well, the thing is, to die for a cause, if they believe in their cause, and much as I would want my kids to die, but if that's their cause, that's their life, then I have to accept it.
My Lord.
You know, it's a tough pill to accept, but that's what they believe in. But in another nutshell is, if the church believe like that.
Oh, my God. Right.
If we had that kind of belief system in Jesus Christ.
If we use our power.
Right.
A lot of these laws that got passed.
When it got passed. We set back.
Right.
And so God has unleashed some new weapons.
That's right.
And that Z is the new weapon.
And you know, this is something too that I learned about this generation right here. We talk to them about God. We preach to them about God. But this generation, they want to see a demonstration.
Yep.
If you say God does this and God can do this, they want to see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so like now, they're at a point now, they want to see something happen. They feel like, if y'all ain't gonna make it happen, we gonna make it happen.
That's right.
So, your son, he marched down in your hometown, mm-hmm. didn't he?
Yes. Yes, Jamal. He marched.
Did he talk about his experience?
He marched. EJ, my junior, he marched, got a chance to experience the Black Power movement.
Wow.
And that's what they believing in it. And they these kids now are not taking it.
Right.
What we took, they not taking it.
Right.
And sure enough, what our forefathers took, they sure enough not taking it.
Nah, they ain't going.
They not going, and they bearing arms.
Right.
Yeah, they got their guns.
Right.
And so they willing to have bloodshed. But if we teach them the right way, if to focus that energy and that power into Jesus, he's the only one that can change man.
He is the answer.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We can march all we want.
Right.
But the final analysis is that Jesus is the one that changed man's heart.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
See, when we look at the 60s, the march in the 60s, Martin Luther King, the marching, God changed them people's hearts.
Mm.
Because they sick dogs on them, they killed them, they hung them, They burned them. They bombed the church. The whites looted. Now, we learned this from them.
Okay.
Yeah, they was the looters.
Burned people houses.
Burned people houses and drug us out the house. Right. And raped our women. And now, all of a sudden, and this is why it's important to know black history.
Right.
And so, for me to hear other blacks talk about where they looting, they thugs and all that, we got to go back.
We learned it from somewhere.
We learned it from them. They the thugs.
Right.
They the hoodlums. They the savages. Mm. And so we got to learn to stick together. And that's, well, I know you didn't ask about that, but I'm going to give you that one for free. That blacks do not stick together.
All right.
We do not stick together. Your dad is a supervisor and doing an awesome job and doing an awesome job. And guess what? It's other blacks.
Right.
That says things about that instead of just going straight to him.
Right.
To identify a problem.
That's right.
And so we don't stick together.
Doing it right now as we speak.
We do not stick together.
Right.
We do not stick together. Church, this church against that church, this preacher against that preacher, this choir against that choir. We have made this a competition. When God said this ain't a competition.
That's also a learned behavior.
That's right.
That's a learned behavior from back in slavery. When the white man would turn one black against the other to tell him what's going on. With
the light skinned against the dark skinned, right. The house Negro and the field Negro. Yeah, he did all that to us.
If we could just change the mindset.
That's it. If we could do that. And it starts with prayer. It goes back to what you're saying.
Prayer.
So God can change that if we come together through prayer. And one thing, white people, you get their attention through resources. When we learn to shop black owned.
Right.
Yeah. See, we in an all black town right now.
Uh-huh.
But we don't own no supermarket.
Do we own?
We don't own no parts though. We ain't even got a soul food place and no can nobody beat us with soul food.
Right.
Much money we spend on hair, we don't have a hair store.
Miss Bailey, ain't no hair store here.
It's not. We don't even have nail place. To get your toes and your nails done. We don't have it.
What is there any black business here?
There's some black businesses here, but the major business is what counts.
Wow.
Because anytime you control what I eat, anytime you can control my health, anytime you control my wealth, you can control me.
Wow. You're right.
And so how do a city this small that's supposed to be desolated got two banks that's in the state of Mississippi doing well? See, people don't do the research, don't do the history. We got the Bank of Oklahoma. They sales up. Through the blacks. The Renaissance Bank, they sales up. To the black, because if it wasn't, the banks would be closed. Because you'd have been to some cities where the banks done closed. Because they wasn't making no money.
Wow.
So they making money here. And so who they making it all for? Ain't no whites here.
Yes.
There's a handful of whites.
Wow.
But we can't get together. We can't get together. Resources. When you pull your resources together, that's when you have power.
I agree with you, Pastor.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So many black churches we have, we don't even have a black credit union.
And there's a lot of black churches here.
Right.
Because I think we counted them up one time. I can't
black churches here. We got black churches in Clay County. There ain't no credit union.
Right.
Huh? We got black churches in Lee County. Ain't no credit union. Black churches in Pontotoc. Ain't no credit union. We go to their banks.
And we could have a credit union called the church.
That's right. Church credit union.
Yeah. Grace.
Anything. Man.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
And then when you try to inform the people, they won't come out.
They're scared they're going to give you some support, or it wasn't their idea.
You know, that goes back to the blacks. It goes mm-hmm. back to messing your mind up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we look at how they control us. They control us through this temporary housing stuff. This was
temporary
called.
Housing.
Temporary, the projects.
Okay.
It's temporary. It's supposed to be temporary. Mm-hmm. We done made it permanent. I see. Generation after generation after generation.
Has made a temporary thing permanent.
That's right. And so, and when you have...
Wow.
Being controlled, we talk about Floyd because the man had his knee on his neck. The government, when you in public housing, got his knee on your neck.
Wow.
Because it separates families. Because when you sign the contract, he can't come now.
Wow.
You can't have these amount of guests here. They can't stay here. Your sister can't spend the night. She can't come now.
Wow.
And if you do, guess what? We're going to kick you out. So that's a sense of control.
Right.
You got the knee on neck. And we think that we're getting over because we don't have to pay no rent. We think we're getting over because they send us a talent check that pay our light bill.
Wow.
So we think we're getting over, but they got us enslaved.
Knee on our neck.
Because we're not willing to accept accountability. And so we'd rather stay in public housing where we don't have to do nothing but being controlled instead of being an owner of our own house.
My Lord.
Where you gain wealth.
Yeah.
And that's why you see an Escalade parked in public housing. That's why you'll see a Charger parked in public housing.
That's the only responsibility.
Only thing they want is a car, and they bought it from a white man.
I never even looked at it like that.
Yeah. And so that's how they control us.
And so George Floyd, he just brought out
everything.
The knee on the neck thing. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, just talking to you right now, I didn't even look at it that way. But it's in so many ways that we have allowed Satan to just put his knee on our neck and we settle for it.
We settle for it.
We can't breathe, and we don't even realize that we can't even breathe.
Mm-hmm. And from that, and from the knee being on us, it causes internal problems within us.
Mm.
The internal problem that it divides families.
Right.
It don't give you a sense of accountability. That's why when she had a baby at 18, her daughter gonna have a baby at 15, 16, or 18. She gonna be staying next door to her mama.
Mm-mm.
And that's why you got the grandmama, the mama, and the daughters all in the same projects.
My Lord.
Because they still got the knee on the neck, but it done caused eternal problems.
Wow.
Oh, it goes deep.
Ooh.
It goes deep. It goes deep, so we have to equip our people. Now is the time to seize the moment that we accept the temporary housing because it's temporary.
But it seems it's like a generational curse, really. Mm-hmm.
But we don't teach them. We don't get them to understand. Baby, you can be some. You had the baby. We understand you got to have a place to stay. But don't make this your home. This,
right.
this here is just some you passing through here.
Right. So because this is my first time even just talking about something like this. So, and I know I'm just gonna say, what if the churches start teaching it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because some people won't get taught anything unless they come to the church. Because mm-hmm. just like you said, if it's a generational thing, then of course mama ain't gonna tell you and grandma ain't gonna say if they're doing the same thing, but maybe they need to hear it from somewhere else.
Right.
Because, I mean, I ain't going to say it's new to me. I just never thought of it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, wow.
So we have to, even if they don't come to the church, we got to go to them. You might have set up a camp right mm-hmm. there in the projects and let them, you know, we're not downing you.
Right.
I'm just
By
saying.
By no means, we're not down. We just want to see you do better.
I want to see you do better.
I want to see you own some stuff.
I want to see you own some stuff because once you become an owner, then you become a voice.
Right.
Long as you don't own nothing, you cannot become a voice.
Wow.
So.
I never looked at it like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have to. We really have to get on board and get our people registered to vote. It's important. We got a big race coming up in November, and I'm not talking about the president race, because he have to dance to the music of the Senate and the legislators. And so the Democrats need to take over the Senate. Mm-hmm. So we got a lady that ran here, said she'd be at a public hanging.
She sure did.
Cindy Hyde Smith. Mm-hmm. Said that she would be on the front row. They let you know right now who was getting hung. Blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When the whites getting hung, blacks were getting hung.
We saw who we were dealing with.
And so if we don't seize this moment to get her out of office in November, then don't be talking. Don't say nothing. Just be quiet. And that's why Trump can keep saying all this stupid and doing all this stupid stuff, because he got control of the Senate.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? You think churches need to start doing a voters registration, or
the church need to pray?
Go to the community.
That's one thing. The church need to get back with what you said. Pray to change people's mind, and then have a platform of what's going on. We got to inform the people what's going on.
Right.
And divide some. Everybody in Oklahoma, we know, okay, every household need to be registered to vote.
Right.
If you 18, you need to be registered to vote. You going to vote that day.
Right.
We got to get them out. We got to get them out.
That's right.
We ain't going to ask you, did you go vote? We're going to take you.
Take you. That's how we used to have to do.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So this is the only way we're going to change the dynamics of the state of Mississippi. If we put the right people in place, and we can change that in November.
That's right. I agree with you. Wow. So I'm about to wrap it up, unless you got something else you want to say, but I'm going to pass it to you for a minute. Is there anything that you want to say to any specific audience? I don't care if it's the church, young people, just whoever, whatever's laid on your heart right now, if it's something that you want to say to close it out.
No, the only thing I want to say is that I hope we become closer, that we need to get closer to God. We need to pray, and we need to love our fellow man, and we need to stand up for what's right.
Amen. I agree.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak on your podcast. Thank you so much, Ms. Amadine Henley.
Thank you, Pastor Jamal Bodie, my father in the ministry. I appreciate you so much. Again, like I said, I appreciate everything you do for me. I appreciate the training. Y'all, this dude, he fuss at me so much sometimes. I don't know if I'm going or coming, but I thank God for him. Y'all out there in podcast land, y'all give him a hand. And the two ladies in here, y'all give him a hand.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, Miss Naomi Bailey of Oklahoma, Mississippi is here. Kay Randall Cunningham is here. But I asked Miss Bailey on the spot if she would give us a song. I don't know if she want to sing Give Me You. I don't know what you want to sing, but at this time I'm going to let you bring a song to close us out, and then we'll close out with prayer. Have your way. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you.
Yes.
Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you.
Yes.
So give me you. Everything else can wait.
Yes.
Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you.
Lord, give me you.
Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. It's me.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, I'm on my knees crying.
out to you. It's me, oh Lord, I'm on my knees, so give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, I need you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. So give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. I hope I'm not too late.
Yeah.
Lord, I hope I'm not too late. I hope I'm not too late. I hope I'm not too late. So give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. It's me, oh Lord, I'm on my knees, crying out to you. It's me, oh Lord, I'm on my knees, so give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank y'all so much. We're about to close out this podcast for tonight. Thank you guys for joining us. And thank God he gets the glory, the honor, and all the praise.
Father God, as I close this segment out, God, I just ask that you be pleased, Lord God. Father God, I just ask right now, Father God, to bless those, God, that you have sent for me to interview, Lord God. Father God, bless those that listen, Lord God. Father God, I just ask that you just bless this assignment right now, God. Father God, continue to send the people, Father God, those that can be interviewed, those that will listen, Lord God.
Father God, now I just ask that you go into the homes of each listener, Father God. And Father God, bless, God, as only you can, Lord God. Father God, whatever is in their home that shouldn't be, that is not of you, Lord God, I touch and agree with them right now, God, and ask you to just move it, Lord God. Father God, help us to grow closer to you, Lord God. Father God, help us to hunger for you, God. Help us to thirst for you, Lord God. Father God, help us to learn how to put you first, Lord God. Because your word said if we seek you first, God, and your righteousness, Lord God, that everything else will be added unto us, Lord God. So, Father God, help us, God, to be better Christians. Help us to be better mothers and better fathers and better sisters and better brothers and better community leaders and better community members and better church members, Lord God. Father God, just help us to be better people for the kingdom of God, Lord God. Father God, touch our hearts, Lord God, and touch our minds, God. There is so much going on right now, God, but Father God, you are Lord of all. So, Father God, I know everything is in your hands, Lord God. So right now, Father God, let your power fall, Lord God. Let your power fall, Lord God. Because we need you, God, all over this land and all over this country, Lord God. In our homes, in our communities, in our churches, Lord God. Father God, we just need your power, Lord God. Father God, charge us up, Lord God, so that we will be on fire for you, God. So that we can speak a word and people's lives can be changed, Lord God. We can speak a word, Father God, and people want to find out more about you, Lord God. It's not about us, God. It's all about you, Lord God.
Father God, we give you the glory, the honor, and all the praise right now, God, for who you are, God. Because you are God and you are God all by yourself, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, you are Alpha and Omega in our lives, Father God. You are the beginning and the end, Father God. You are the first and the last, Lord God. Father God, you are the King of kings and you are the Lord of lords, Father God. Father God, for some people, you are a midnight rider, Lord. You are a healer, Lord God. You're a lawyer, Lord God. Father God, you are just God, and there is no other God before you, besides you, Lord God. You are God, and you are God all by yourself, Lord God. Father God, I just thank you right now, God, for just being in my life, Lord God. Father God, I thank you for taking the, help me, Lord God, for just taking the blinders off my eyes, God, so that I could see you, Lord. Father, for unstopping my ears, Father God, so that I could hear you, Lord God. Father God, thank you for taking the bridle off my mouth so I can speak your word, Lord God. Father God, thank you for the change that you brought about in our lives, Lord God. I thank you right now, God, because if it had not been for you on our side, Lord God, we would be headed to a burning hell. Father God, I just thank you for sending your son, Jesus, Lord, to just come from heaven, Father God, and put on an earthly body, God, to come here and dwell among us, Father God, to save us, Lord God. I thank you for salvation, God. I thank you for grace, God. We don't deserve it, Lord God, but because you are God, Father God, I just thank you for having mercy, God, and giving us grace anyway, Father God. Thank you right now, God, for the brand new mercy that you give us every day, God. We are undeserving people, but we serve a perfect God with a perfect love for imperfect people, God. Thank you right now for your grace, God. Thank you for your salvation, Lord God. Father God, thank you, Lord God, for just holding us and keeping us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for just saying that can't nothing pluck us out of your hand, God, that we are sealed there, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for just looking beyond our faults and still blessing us, Lord God. Father, thank you for continuing to wake us up every morning and knowing, Father God, who you're waking up and knowing what we're going to do that day, Father God. Knowing that everything that we do won't be all good, Lord God, but you still love us anyway, and you still give us chance after chance. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, now I just ask for a special blessing on the bereaved, Lord God. There's so many bereaved people in our families right now, God. There's so many bereaved people in our communities, Lord God, on our jobs, God. Death is everywhere, Lord God. But Father God, I'm so glad, Father God, that your son Jesus took the sting out of death, Lord God. So Father God, we don't even have to be afraid, Lord God, as long as we are in you, God. If we die in you, Lord God, we're going to reign in you, Lord God. We're going to raise up and we're going to live forever in you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for being God, and thank you, Lord God, for the things you've already put in place for us, God. You're just waiting for us to walk into it, Lord God. I thank you for this new season and the new things that you are doing in this new season, Lord God. Father, thank you for a changed heart and a changed mind, Father God. Thank you for changing our mindset, Lord God. Father God, just to help and keep us, Lord God, on the right path, Lord God. Thank you right now, God, for your love, God. In the mighty matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. We bless your name, God. Father God, be pleased with this segment in Jesus' name.